Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Massachusetts tech sector is among the industries leading the pushback against President Donald Trump's executive orders on immigration. Those orders temporarily halted visas from seven mostly Muslim countries and all refugees coming into the United States. At the forefront of that charge, Muhammad Ali. He's the CEO and president of Carbonite, a computer security and data backup company. Ali is also a board member of the Massachusetts Technology Leadership Council. And he's an immigrant himself. He says sudden immigration restrictions of the type called for by President Trump could have a devastating impact on the tech sector.
Yeah, the sector is highly dependent on skilled workers, and we actually have a huge gap in the tech sector, as much as a million jobs that are not being filled in the tech sector. And any further restriction on either local development of talent through our education system or external acquisition of talent through immigration process will hinder our tech sector in a way that will be damaging to our economy.
Now, when you say a million, is that a million jobs nationwide or?
It's a million jobs nationwide. Mm.
Take me down to the level of the work you do at Carbonite. Has there been any impact or shifting in the mood at the company?
Oh, absolutely. We have employees who came to the United States to go to college. We've hired them. They're now concerned about whether if they go visit their families, they're going to be able to come back. I mean, some of these employees aren't even from these seven countries. Like, we actually had a telecon for all employees, all 800 or so in the United States, to talk to one of our immigration lawyers. 10% of the company dialed in.
Wow.
These were people from China, Mexico, countries unaffected. They're just worried.
And what effect does that worry have on your ability to do business?
Well, they're distracted, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a productivity hit right there. But also, I have an employee who's going home to his brother's wedding, and he's worried about his ability to come back. If he's unable to come back, we actually have a plan. We're going to send him to one of our European offices. So if we have issues with, you know, this immigration order, we will actually increase our employment in our European and Canadian offices, which is not good for America. We do not want to do this to the American economy.
Interesting. Basically, you're having to come up with contingency plans now.
That's right.
Huh.
And it's not just us. It's almost every tech company out there.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, regardless of how the legal dispute over the executive orders shakes out, are you concerned about the long-term impact of the decisions made by the Trump administration for one particular reason? And that is, there's really, it seems to me, a global battle for the top tech talent. And that unlike a generation or two ago, the very people you seek to hire, these days, there's a lot of places they can go. They can go to Canada. They can go to Europe. They can go to Asia. Do you think the United States risks being a less welcoming place overall for those people?
I mean, not only do we risk that, it is an imminent danger even before the Trump administration. These two industries, tech and life science in particular, which are becoming huge growth engines, not just for Massachusetts, but for the entire country, if we impede them today and we start falling backwards, it's actually going to have tremendous long-term damage to the not only Massachusetts economy, because, you know, we are particularly affected given our extra reliance on tech and life sciences, but the whole country.
Interesting. And, you know, I'll throw in higher ed as well, because you mentioned that you have a lot of employees who came here, got their degrees and stayed.
Right.
Is there a concern that we're going to see a lot of students come here, get their degrees and then not stay, either because they can't or no longer want to?
Yes. You know, I have two employees right now. One of them came up to me on Monday and she said, my parents are Iranian. They came to Canada. I was born in Canada. You know, she's in her mid-20s. She's an amazing employee. But I'm sort of worried. If I go back to visit my parents, am I going to have trouble at the airport? Because, well, technically, I'm not affected by this rule, right? Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, I'm a green card holder, and ancestrally, I'm Iranian. So does this cause trouble? And so, yeah, I think people are going to be concerned about their stability of being able to travel. And if they are unable to travel freely or worried about it, then some of those people may go to places where they are great jobs. Canada and Europe, there are great jobs there. And companies like ours will hire there.
Yeah. I'd like to explore something with you because I heard you say about there's a million unfilled jobs in the tech sector across the country. I would think, in fact, I know that there are many people who support and voted for the president who say there are American employees right now who could fill those jobs. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why they support Donald Trump, because he might be using a wrecking ball in terms of his executive orders. But what he's saying is that we should look right here in within the United States for the talent to fill the jobs needed in the tech sector.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. Now, let me give you some stats. Here in Massachusetts, we graduate 65,000 students from high school per year. 35,000 of those students go on to get some sort of post-secondary degree. 30,000 do not, right? So if we really want to address this talent gap, we will invest in our K-12 system and skills retraining. That is absolutely the solution going forward. And I just don't see actually our state government investing in this. Mm-hmm. And certainly our federal government is not indicating that that's the solution that they want. And then if you look at things like H-1Bs, we're talking about a max 85,000 visas out of a million open slots. So this is just a little bit of a drop in the bucket. But if we get rid of that drop in the bucket and we don't fill it with local talent grown through our education system, then we have a real problem.
Mm-hmm. I see. So tell me a little bit about your story, right? Because your perspective as the CEO and a leader in the tech sector in Massachusetts is much appreciated. But also, I mean, you yourself are an immigrant.
I am an immigrant.
How old were you when you came to the United States?
So I came to the United States when I was 11.
What brought your family to the United States?
Opportunity. You know, like everybody else, they come to America for opportunity. It's a great land of opportunity.
Yeah. And what did your parents do?
My dad was a mechanic, and my mom worked in a fabric store. I mean, they were poor. You know, we could barely make ends meet. So. Yeah.
And you grew up then in Queens?
In
is that
Queens.
Right? And tell me, what was that like?
Well, Queens is a little bit of a tough place. You learn a lot. But Queens is also a multicultural mecca, and I loved it. I love growing up in an environment where there were people from all parts of the world. It gave me an opportunity to see the world in a microcosm.
Because of all the people that you were
all
surrounded
by. All the diversity.
By. Yeah. Now, I've read that that you went to a pretty tough high school. Is that right?
Junior high school.
Junior high school. Okay.
So
gotta get them right.
I'm not sure if the stat is right or not, but at one point I was told that it was the second worst junior high school in all of the state of New York. But, you know, I mean, it was junior high school. It was education.
So what got you on the path to tech then?
So there was a teacher. I think her name was Mrs. Schiff. And one day she said to me, hey, you know, I have this computer. If you want to come in the morning and play with it, you're welcome to. And I did. And I started learning how to use it and how to program. You know, I was from a pretty poor background. And the fact that this teacher reached out to me and gave me this opportunity was pretty phenomenal. And from that, I became interested in computers, and I learned more and more and more. And here today I am, you know, at the head of a computer company.
She set you down the path then.
She did.
Well, Muhammad Ali, going forward then, I mean, we're there's a lot of uncertainty still, and that is going to be worked out through the legal system. But what would you like to see happen? I mean, would you like to see these executive orders entirely overturned?
I would like to see the executive order entirely overturned. We are all concerned about security. There are many of us who are willing to assist in coming up with appropriate measures that will secure our country, yet at the same time not put our economy at jeopardy.
So if you had the opportunity to speak to the president or members of his administration, what would you tell them?
I think if I had the opportunity to speak to the president or his administration, I would tell them that there are many people out here in business who are ready to do the thoughtful thing, and that he and they should sit and listen carefully and deliberate before taking action. What we've seen in the last few weeks is quick action without much deliberation.
Hmm. Well, Muhammad Ali is the president and CEO of Carbonite. He also serves on the board of Oxfam America and the Massachusetts Technology Leadership Council. A true pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.